About 10 years ago, a little redheaded boy sitting back here on the third pew made me a father for the first time. I remember having the thoughts leading up to about when my wife was about 7 months pregnant, and I was nothing but pure excited. About seven and a half, 8 months along, I thought, wow, this is going to last for 18 years. This is not going away anytime soon. He came along, we brought him home from the hospital, put him in the, in the bed in our room. Everything was good. Everything was comfortable. He was right there. His crib was at the foot of our bed. If he cried, I heard it. If he moved, I heard it. I remember the first time he slept all the way through the night, and I woke up the next morning and thought, what in the world is wrong here? This isn't natural. This isn't normal. Any of you that have had kids, you understand that. For that first year and a half, I held him in the middle of the night. He slept in my arms. And then there came a point that it was time for him to move to his own room. He had to move from our room, and we didn't live in a big house by any means, but he was moving all the way to the other end of the house. And I remember laying there in bed, dad of one kid, laying there in bed at night thinking, how am I going to take care of him? I can't get to him. What if something happens on that end of the house and he's all the way away from me? What if the monitor doesn't work and I can't hear him cry? And I laid there at night and worried and worried and worried about what would happen to that little baby. He was a first. Now that we've got four, it seems kind of silly. And what were you thinking, Dad? But with that first one, I wasn't sure what I was going to do with him all the way at the other end of the house. And when I would wake up the next morning, and he'd smile and laugh, it all seemed okay. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, when it was dark, when there was the wind blowing, when all the things that are on your mind are there, you just didn't know how you were going to take care of that little one on the other end of the house. Nothing good comes at 2 o'clock in the morning, especially in our own mind. It's a privilege to be back here with you this morning. It's been 14, 15 years since we've been at this church. My wife and I attended college over in Durant at Southeastern, and we'd come over here and visit from time to time. And we've been trying to get back, trying to be with you again. It's been a long time, but it's a privilege. It's the same sweet spirit that it always was when we came over here, always welcoming, always loving. And it's a privilege to be back with you. I wish we could stay with you longer, but I have to be back in Amarillo for services in the morning, and that's a long 5.5-6 hour drive to make this afternoon. So we're glad to be here with you this afternoon. Trust that you've been praying with us. I hear a lot of ministers, and I don't disagree with them. They say, I hope you're praying for me, or I always want to say, I hope you're praying with me, because I hope I've been praying as much as you have been. That the Lord would be with us this afternoon. I want to go three places, and I trust that if the Lord should be our helper, we'll bring a message to you that would be edifying and uplifting, comforting to you, and that it might be honoring and glorifying unto our Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you're taking notes, following along, I direct your attention to the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And I want to bring you to a verse that you're very familiar with, but you probably think about it as a funeral text. You've heard it a whole lot in funerals. You've heard it probably every funeral you've been to. But I want to bring it to you in a way to hopefully stir your pure minds that you might think about it outside of just that context this morning. 1 Thessalonians in the 4th chapter and the 13th verse, the Apostle Paul writing saying, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." And I want really this second part of it this morning, or this afternoon, if the Lord should be our helper. "That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. There's a few things about this particular text that I want to bring to your attention before we go to the other places that I want to go this morning. But one of those is that I would point out to you, and I would hope that you would take this with you and take comfort in it. The Apostle Paul doesn't say, don't sorrow as others which have no hope. He doesn't say that you're not going to have sorrow. He doesn't say that you're not going to experience sorrow. He says don't sorrow in the same method or in the same manner. And this afternoon, that's my emphasis. That's what I want to bring to you, is the way in which we sorrow. Not the fact that you're not going to sorrow, not the fact that you're not going to have the same depth of sorrow. I've heard it preached among old Baptists, and I've heard it said from time to time that there's this indication that we shouldn't have the same level of sorrow as others that don't have the truth. Dear child of grace, when you love one and when you have a loved one that dies that you didn't expect, whenever you have a tragedy brought to your life, it doesn't matter how deeply you understand the truth of the gospel, the sorrow is something that is going to weigh upon your soul. Amen. And it's deep and it's heartfelt and it's not going to pass away in a moment of time. But there's an approach to how we sorrow that is different. I want to spend the majority of my time this morning in the book of Psalms. Fortunately, those of you that are here, none of you are from Amarillo, so you haven't had to deal with this. But we've been in the book of Psalms now for over a year. We are taking one psalm every Sunday, and we're considering it, we're analyzing it, we're studying it as a congregation. We're now on the 55th psalm, so that can tell you how many Sundays we've been in the book of Psalms. So fortunately, you haven't had to hear me every Sunday on the book of Psalms, but it's still where my mind is. So if you would turn with me to the fifth psalm this afternoon, and consider the things which David here has to say. The fifth psalm, and starting the first verse, David writes and says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice wilt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." This is eventually the point that I want to get to. This is eventually the conclusion that I want to reach, is when do we point our eyes again unto the Lord? Nothing good happens at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I would tell you, dear child of grace, your 2 o'clock in the morning may not be an actual 2 o'clock in the morning. Your 2 o'clock in the morning may be all of the year 2016. Lord help us, I hope it's not. But for some of you, it may be. I've got a lady in our congregation back at home. She lost her husband. This was just a few years ago. She lost her husband due to complications with MS. Her daughter-in-law has cancer. Her son has cancer. Her other son has back problems and can't get around. And her other daughter is in jail for drugs. Let me tell you, her 2015 has all been at 2 o'clock in the morning. It hasn't been good. It hasn't been easy. And that sorrow isn't going to be any different just because she understands the truth. That's still her husband and her children, and the sorrow weighs upon her soul. But the question is, when we come to this verse, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and we'll look up." I want to go to another psalm real quick before we come back to this one. I want to let me go over here to the third psalm, and we'll come back to this one in just a moment. David writing here in the third psalm says this. He says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah." I want you to notice what he says here in this second and third verses of this third psalm. He says, "Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." But thou, O Lord, art a shield. That's a beautiful thought, to be a shield. You know, the wonderful thing about a shield is there's a many descriptions about our Lord, and he's described as a shepherd. He's described as our fortress. He's described as our high tower. But the thing about a fortress, the thing about a high tower, is you've got to be in that location for it to do you any good. If you're in the middle of a battle and you're outside of the fortress, that fort might as well not even be there, because it's not doing you any good. You got to go to it. But you know what a shield is? It's there with you. It travels. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter where you go. That shield goes with you when you're in a time of need. He's our shield, and he's there with us all the time. But notice what he says here. My glory and the lifter up of mine head. The lifter up of mine head. When does he lift up your head? When does he strengthen you? When does he give you those things that you stand in need of? I want to come back again to this fifth psalm, and we're going to come here over and over and over again. But he says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. Does he lift your head up in the morning? Oh, 2 o'clock in the morning isn't good, but as the song said that we sang for that last song, everything seems a little brighter in the morning. Everything seems a little better. When that sun rises, it doesn't have to be a literal sun. Don't get that in your mind's eye, but if you can use that as a visualization, use that to encourage and strengthen what you understand. When the sun rises in the morning, you know, that wind blowing against the house and the leaves rattling doesn't sound nearly so scary when the sun's up. When that sun comes up, when that sun comes up in your life, maybe it's you've lost a loved one, maybe it's you've got job troubles, maybe it's your marriage is struggling, maybe it's any number of things. But when that sun comes up in the morning, does he lift your head up to look at him and sing his praises? Because you see, dear child of grace, the problem is not that you have a 2 o'clock in the morning. The problem is if when that sun comes up, if your praises aren't going to him because he held you through that storm. That's the issue. That's the thing that we must look at. That's the thing that we must consider. I want to go one other psalm, and the sixth psalm, and here. Let's start in the fourth verse. And this is the visualization, this is the picture that I want you to see this morning that we'll spend the majority of our time on. I know my thoughts have been a little all over the place here, but I want to bring it all together here with this sixth psalm. Here in the sixth psalm and starting in the fourth verse, David writing has this to say. And remember, David experienced many struggles and many tribulations in his life. To be as great a man as his life was a very difficult life, a very troublesome life. He lost sons. He had a son turn against him in rebellion. He had so many things happen to him over the course of his life, being pursued by Saul and by Satan and different things. And he writes these words. He says, "Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake." He says, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. He says, I would rather die. You go over to the 54th Psalm, and David prays a very similar prayer to what our Lord does. He goes out in the Mount of Olives, actually, and prays a very similar prayer, saying, Lord, I would that I had wings that I could fly away and be at rest. Lord, I just want out of this body. I just don't want to deal with this anymore. Dear child of grace, have you ever been to the point that you said, I just don't want to do this any longer? I don't want to see my family sick. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to see my church coming apart. I don't want to feel the experiences that I'm feeling right now. Just remove me from them. I don't want to do this any longer. David was in that place in the 54th Psalm, and you can go there and read it for yourself. And he says, Lord, I would that I had wings that I could fly away. That's a prayer to die from David. That's not a prayer for some metaphorical flying off into the forest. That's a prayer that David wanted to go home and be with the Lord. What did our Lord pray in the garden when he left his disciples? He went and he prayed and he said, Lord, if you would, let this cup pass from me. But if not, thy will be done, not mine. That's the first prayer he prayed. But remember, he went and prayed three times in that garden. That was the first prayer he prayed. The next two prayers he prayed was, Lord, I know this is my cup. Give me the grace and the strength to bear it. That's the point David reaches in the 54th Psalm. He prays the first time and says, Lord, give me wings that I could fly away and be at rest. The second time he prays, he says, Lord, sustain me. I know thy grace is sufficient for me. The third time he prays, he says, Lord, help me to see thy salvation. That's quite the progression, dear child of grace, but it's an encouragement to you. When those burdens are weighing down upon your soul, that first inclination is to say, Lord, just take this away from me. Lord, why do I have to deal with this? Lord, I've already dealt with all of this last week. Why am I getting this now too? You know the old saying, when it rains, it pours. Oh, my word, dear child of grace, is that not the truth? Do we not experience that? And then we come right along with the next cliche and say, misery loves company. If it's raining and pouring in my life, I'm going to make sure somebody else knows about it. Because it's just not fair that I've got to deal with this. I can just hear in that dear sister's head back home, Lord, why? Why is it back on me? My daughter-in-law's already beat cancer one time, and now she's fighting it again. Why, Lord, am I dealing with this? Oh, how easy is it? I don't look around, and I don't know your situations. I don't know the problems that you're facing. I don't know the struggles that are upon you. But I can guarantee you this, dear child of grace, if right now isn't your 2:00 in the morning, it will come. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that's a promise you can count on. Your 2:00 in the morning is coming at some time. So it's going to start with, Lord, why me? Lord, remove this from me. You might not say it in the words, why me, but you will say, Lord, please take this away. You will say it. And when it doesn't go away, what will your next prayer be? Will it be, again, Lord, remove this from me? Or will we grow in faith and be able to say, Lord, sustain me. Lord, sustain me. You know, that's a growth. When you can get to the point that you say, Lord, sustain me in my trouble, that's growth. But dear child of grace, that's not where I want you to get to. I want you to get to the point that you say, Lord, in this tribulation, let me see thy salvation. That's power, dear child of grace. That's faith. That's exercising that spirit that he's been given unto each one of us. Lord, in my tribulation, let me see thy salvation, but even more so, let someone else see thy salvation as well. Let me be a reflection of thy grace. Your 2:00 is coming. David says, here, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. He wants to die, but he understands that he can't be a testament unto Jesus Christ. He can't be a testament unto his salvation if he's dead. If he's walking and living and breathing and enduring that tribulation, then he can speak of the grace of God. And the grave, who shall give thee thanks? If I'm dead, Lord, who's going to praise you for what you've done for me? I want to die. I want to be out of this situation. I want to let it all go. But if I'm here, I can praise you, and I can teach others, and I can help others. He says in the 6th verse, I am weary with my groaning. I'm so tired, Lord. I'm so absolutely exhausted. Now, if this isn't a visual that you can hold on to, I don't know what there is. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. I water my couch with my tears. Have you ever left your pillow wet at night because you fell asleep in the middle of your prayers? I had a brother say to me, I feel so weak because I fall asleep when I'm praying. I said, brother, you better hold on to that. You better hold on to it, because when that peace comes over you, because your prayers are being answered and you fall asleep in mid-prayer, that's sweet peace. That's sweet peace that you're not going to get any other way. David says, I water my couch with my tears. That's a 2 o'clock in the morning moment, dear child of grace. That's when you wake up and you're no longer mad. You're no longer angry. You're no longer jealous. You're no longer upset. You just want peace. And you lay there and you cry silently on your pillow, and he comes and he holds you next to him, and he lays his head, your head upon his breast, and he whispers sweet peace unto you. And you fall asleep and you rest. And then comes back to the fifth verse. You haven't slept in weeks. You haven't experienced that peace. You haven't known what it was to feel the comfort of Christ in your life. And he comes and he visits you in the middle of the night, and you sleep for the first time. You sleep like you did that first night that that kid slept all the way through the night, and you wake up the next morning and say, what in the world just happened? Here's the question. Do you raise your eyes unto him and say, thank you, Lord? Oh, thank you, Lord. That problem didn't go away. That situation didn't get solved. I'm still without a job. I don't know where the next meal's coming from, but Lord, I slept last night. And I know I did, because you held my head and rocked me to sleep. With thy grace and thy mercy and thy peace. When you wake up the next morning, do your eyes turn to him? Do you come back to what he wrote here? In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. When you wake up from that 2 o'clock in the morning moment, do you pray just as hard as you were at 2 o'clock in the morning? Because you should be. But not for what you were praying for then. Those leaves aren't rattling and scaring you outside now. What are you praying now? A prayer of thanksgiving. A prayer, Lord, you got me through the night. You strengthened me. You comforted me. Help me to make it down the path that's yet to come. I've got another journey to walk today. Lord, give me the strength for that journey. Give me the strength that I need for that next step. We don't have a big light lighting our path. We have a little light along it that shows us where the next step is. And that prayer in the morning is a prayer that he would show us where to step, where the strength is coming from, where the encouragement is coming from. Paul says that we sorrow not as others who have no hope. You see, where does the hope come? It doesn't come at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to stand here and tell you, dear child of grace, that in the middle of your 2 o'clock in the morning moment, you shouldn't be absolutely distraught. You should be. It's natural. I tell my boys when I take them to school, I'm trying to be mindful of the time, brother, and get out of your way here, but I tell my boys every morning when I drop them off at school, you say, well, you tell them you love them. Well, I hope I do, but I tell them something else that I think is just as important. I tell my boys to make an investment. You say, well, what do you mean by that? I tell my boys every day, make an investment in yourself, in someone else, and in your faith. Dear child of grace, I hope that holds true for all of us. That's a daily live-by example. Invest in yourself, invest in someone else, and invest in your faith. Make an investment. That 2 o'clock in the morning moment's going to come if you've been making an investment in someone. Because if you've been investing yourself the way you should be, then your emotions are there. Your heart's there. Your soul's there. You're passionate about it. I get so tired of the world we live in where all I see is fake emotion. I want to see people cry. Not because I make them cry because of how awful the preaching is. I want to see them cry because it means something to them. I want to see them moved. I want to see them stirred. I want to see something that they're investing in that means something to them. And when it does, your 2 o'clock in the morning moment's going to happen because it's going to hurt you and you're going to sorrow and it's okay. But you see, the way that we don't sorrow as others do who have no hope is because we have our mornings and our heads lifted up to look upon Him. And the brightness of His glory comes shining down. And we experience that grace and mercy all over again. I'll leave you with this thought, dear child of grace. That's our hope and our comfort for this day and time. But when this life is drawing to a close, we're all going to be there unless the Lord comes back to take us home first. When this life is drawing to a close, when we know that we're nearing our end, can we let us go to that place? Go to that place where our life we know is coming to a close and say, Lord, it's been good to walk with You today. Not just today, but all the days of my life. It's been good to walk with You. And Lord, I know that this might be a dark moment. I may have cancer. I may have any number of sickness. I don't know what that's going to be. And the last days of my life may be rough. I may experience pain. I may experience sorrow. But Lord, I look forward to that morning that's coming. Not that natural morning, but that bright morning of glory when Jesus I'll see. When I look upon His face. When I experience His beauty with my own experience and not through this last half full, this last darkly, I get to experience it fully, face to face. That's when I can sing His praise the way I'm supposed to. When I'll know Him as I've been known. Lord, I know I'm about to go through my midnight. Oh, but I look forward to that morning that's yet to come. We sorrow not as others who have no hope, because we have a morning when we look to Him and sing His praise. I thank you for your kind attention. I trust that something we've had to say would be a blessing unto you and that it'd be honoring and glorifying unto our Lord. It's been a blessing and a privilege to be with you. We thank you for your hospitality and we ask that you continue to pray for these that would come before you. Come on.